Now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. But first, let's go visiting in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. I want to tell you about something that happened there at the home of the Wayne Johnsons. You see, Mrs. Johnson has been extra proud of the cake she bakes ever since she helped test the new Sure Mix Crisco. So one Sunday, when there was company for dinner, Mrs. Johnson served hot gingerbread with whipped cream for dessert. And after every last crumb had been eaten, one of the guests said,
"Edna, that was the best gingerbread I ever tasted. So light and fluffy. Did you make it with the new shortening? You know, that kind the woman gave you when she came to your door the other day and asked you to test it for cakes."
"Yes, I'm using that new Sure Mix Crisco for all my cakes now. Wayne and the youngsters are crazy about them."
"Gosh, it certainly made that gingerbread delicious. I hope you have some more for supper."
"Well, I haven't. But it won't take any time at all to make another one."
So Mrs. Johnson was a good sport and baked a second gingerbread for her guest that night. And ladies, you'll be kept busy baking extra cakes, too, once you start using the new Sure Mix Crisco. Why, this new Crisco was tested in hundreds of homes from coast to coast. Housewives just like you baked cakes with Crisco and compared them to those they made with their regular shortenings. And when their families chose the cakes they liked best, they voted 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. And here's the reason why. Thanks to a special process, this new Crisco is different from every other home shortening we know of. It now offers you 3 exclusive new advantages. 1, lighter cakes. 2, smoother textured cakes. 3, cakes that taste better than you've ever made them. So get Crisco for your cakes, will you? And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry, 4-1 for better-tasting fried foods. That was the family vote, 4-1, for new Sure Mix Crisco. Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 10:30 o'clock in the evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Vic is established in his easy chair, reading with absorption Volume 7 of his Lodge Library. Sade occupies a corner of the davenport, industriously darning socks. Silence has prevailed for a considerable length of time, but now it's broken.
"Leave, I'll go to bed."
"What time is it?"
"Getting on for 11.
"Really?
35 minutes past 10 anyway. I got a big day planned for tomorrow and need my rest."
"What's on the docket for tomorrow?"
"This house. Been neglecting it lately. Dining room is the big issue. I bet there's dust 9 feet thick behind that buffet."
"Hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, but what most housekeepers..."
"Listen.
What's the matter?"
"Heard the back door open."
"Rush is out there."
"Thought he hit the hay."
"Uh-uh. Said he was going to drink the
glass of milk." "Hey, Uncle Fletcher just walked in."
"Oh, well."
"Fletcher?"
"Go ahead, Meg. Go ahead,
Meg." "Oh, my style."
"Good evening."
"It's getting on for 11 o'clock. Dandy time to drop in for a visit."
"Evening, Sadie."
"Good evening, Uncle Fletcher. I'm tired."
"Well, you can go to bed."
"About 8 bushels of work mapped out for in the morning."
"Probably he's only stopping by a minute or two to say hello on his way home."
"I hope so." "Well."
"I didn't know about what you people had retired. So light's burning in both the kitchen and the living room, though, so I figured everybody was still on deck."
"We're on deck and feeling fine."
"You're out late."
"Yes, I'm out late. I'm out late, Sadie, and I'll tell you why."
"Mm-hmm."
"Gonna meet a train."
"Oh, really?"
"At 1 o'clock."
1 o'clock this morning?"
"Gonna meet a train at 1 o'clock this morning. CNA Depot. Mrs. Trogle."
"Mrs. Trogle?"
"Mrs. Alvy Trogle, that lives in the 700 block on West Monroe Street."
"Hmm."
"She's spending the day in Chicago. Her train don't get in until 1 o'clock. I saw Alvy earlier this evening, and he was bothered because he has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do some special work at the shops and needs all the rest he can get. But don't like the idea of going to bed and letting his wife come home from the station all by herself so late at night. I said, 'Come here, Alvy. I'll meet the train. I'll look after the missus.'"
"That was nice of you."
"Yes, yes it was."
1 o'clock's quite a long ways from now."
"You're a good boy, Rush."
"Thanks."
Rush mentioning just now, it's quite a little while till 1 o'clock.
Rush is a good boy.
Yes, how do you plan to put in the time till the train arrives?
Put in the time? Well, thought I'd chat with you folks a little bit and then amble down to the station. 1 o'clock will roll around before I know it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's the way it goes.
I've got to go to bed directly.
Go ahead.
How's that, Vic?
I was going to inquire about the big envelope you got there.
Oh, this. Uh-huh. A few articles I dug out of my truck after supper this evening. Thought you folks would be interested.
More photographs and snapshots.
Oh, no, not more photographs.
Photographs and snapshots, Uncle Fletcher?
Christmas cards, by George.
You're not selling them.
Fine. Here, I'll open my envelope.
You're not selling Christmas cards, are you, Uncle Fletcher?
Oh, no. These are old ones I dug up out of my trunk. Different than the kind people send nowadays. Had Idy Rush here might enjoy looking at old-fashioned Christmas cards.
I would.
Uh-huh. No, I'll put in the time all right till Mrs. Strogo's train pulls in. Be 1 o'clock before I know it.
I'm not going to stay up.
You don't have to.
Now, this is a Christmas card from James S. Drench.
Oh, you're on the bed.
Well, hop along.
Christmas card from James S. Drench.
Very nice.
Says here, with best wishes for a happy holiday season to Edna, Gus, Arthur, and Bug-Eye, James S. Drench.
A lot of lace work on that card.
Yes, yes indeed. Years ago, they put more lace work on Christmas cards than a horse. Who's Edna, Gus, Arthur, and Bug-Eye?
I don't know.
Well, here, Rush, you can have this Christmas card.
Say, thanks. I accept with pleasure.
Oh, now, keep it. It's yours. Paste it on a looking glass over your dresser.
Okay.
Sure.
Excuse yourself. I'm going up to bed.
I will in a second.
Christmas card by George from UQ Tuttle.
Angels made out of tinfoil pasted all over.
Angels made out of tinfoil pasted all over.
Very handsome card.
Who's UQ Tuttle?
I don't know.
Wishing Fletcher Rush a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with fond memories of our jolly times together in Boone, Iowa. UQ Tuttle. Hey, I've never been in Boone, Iowa.
No, that's what you said the other day. You said
never been in Boone, Iowa in my life. Been to Stanwood, been to Sioux City, been to Ottumwa. Never quite hit Boone. Some mistake here. Sadie, who's UQ Tuttle?
Well, I haven't any idea. Say, Uncle Fletcher, if you don't mind, I...
Says we have jolly times together in Boone. I never been in Boone.
Uncle Fletcher, would you mind if I excused myself and went upstairs? I'm very tired and feel like I ought to get...
Fine, uh-huh. No, I've never been in Boone.
Uncle Fletcher?
Yes, Sadie?
I think I better excuse myself and go to bed.
Sure, do that.
I'm just terrible tired.
You bet. Run right along.
I've got oceans of housework laid out for in the morning, and I think maybe it'd be best.
I understand just how it is. Don't blame you a bit. You run right along and hit the hay. I'll tell Mrs. Trogle hello for you at the depot.
Yes, do that.
Oh, I've never been in Boone. Where's UQ Tuttle? Get that noise, I bet in Boone.
Couldn't see.
Must be some half-wit. Here, Rush.
Give it to me.
Paste it on your looking glass.
Okay.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, Sage.
Don't you and Rush stay up all night.
Coming upstairs myself in a minute.
Night, Mom.
Night, Sonny. Good night, Uncle Fletcher.
This is a Christmas card from George Yeapley.
Good night, Uncle Fletcher.
George Yeapley's not a familiar name either. I don't recollect any George Yeapley.
Mom's telling you good night.
Who is?
Mom. She's telling you good night. She's going to bed.
Oh, good night, Sadie.
Good night. Come take supper with us soon. I'll telephone you later on in the week.
No, I never was acquainted with any George Yeapley. Knew a George Yipper and a George Wheatman, but no George Yeapley.
Night, Sadie.
Night.
What'd you say, babe?
Just tell and say good night.
Oh, night. Here.
Give me this one, too?
Sure.
Thanks.
Say, Uncle Fletcher, I believe I'll desert the party also. I got a big day at the office tomorrow, and I...
Sure, you bet. Trot right along.
I don't like to shirk my duties as a host.
Forget it. Rush, here's a Christmas card that must have cost 50 cents.
Really?
At least 50 cents. I don't know who sent it, by George. From Eleanor Sweeting. It says down here at the bottom, but I never was acquainted with any Eleanor Sweeting.
Huh.
Well, night, fellas.
Night, huh?
Good night, Uncle Fetch.
Oh, I never was acquainted with any Eleanor Sweeting. I remember when I received this card. It was 20 years ago.
Good night, Uncle Fetcher.
I was living in Belvedere at the time. Now, whether this young lady admired me from the sidelines or not, I
could... Gus telling you good night.
What?
Gus telling you good night.
Oh, night, Vic.
Good night. You coming along shortly, Rick?
Yeah.
Whether this young lady, Eleanor Sweeting, admired me from the sidelines or not, I couldn't say. She might have taken a shine to me and decided to send me a Christmas card under an assumed name, don't you see? Because I inquired around Belvedere there.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a lot of people. Know anybody in town here named Eleanor Sweeting, I'd say? But nobody placed the name.
Mm-hmm.
Either the young lady sent me this Christmas card under an assumed name, or else there actually was an Eleanor Sweeting, and she lived out in the country somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Thanks.
Now, let's see what we got.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas card from Ed Nyergarth and Charlie Slide.
Mm-hmm.
The curious thing about this particular Christmas card, I know Ed Nyergarth like I know my own brother, but who in thunder Charlie Slide is, I haven't the faintest idea.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Nyergarth and myself clerked together at Weber's grocery store on the city limits of Sterling, Illinois. Ed was a great hand for eating popcorn late at night. Popped his old popcorn, kept it in his bedroom. You like popcorn yourself pretty much, don't you, Rush? Ed and I, guys, would rather eat popcorn and apple pie. Well, popcorn's good. We agree on that, don't we? Rush? Rush? You asleep, Rush? Rush? Boy's asleep. To Fletcher Rush from August and Henrietta Fisherly. Who in thunder's August and Henrietta Fisherly?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, have you ever made a cake with new Sure Mix Crisco? Then you know that Crisco now gives you the kind of cake batter good cooks dream about. Yes, a smooth, satiny batter that can make your cakes taste better than ever before. You see, this new Crisco is different from other shortenings. Thanks to a special process, it gives you three exclusive advantages. Lighter cakes, smoother textured cakes, cakes that taste better than you can make them with any other home shortening you know of. Hundreds of housewives have proved this right in their own kitchens. Yes, in a recent independent test, cakes they baked with Crisco were compared to those made with all their favorite shortenings. And when those families expressed their choice, they voted 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry. 4-1 for better-tasting fried foods. That was the family vote. 4-1 for new Sure Mix Crisco. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.